reach, equip, and send. So to reach the lost, to equip the saints, and to send us out into the nations. So that was our vision statement, to reach, equip, and send. So we're going to keep hammering that home, because actually it's so good to have that as our vision and a direction. So everything that we do in the church, we can come back to that and say, actually, is it in line with what we felt that God was saying to us? Are we reaching the lost? Are we equipping the saints? Are we sending people out? So it's good to have that vision and that focus so that we can keep on track. Psalm 2 verse 8 says, ask me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, the ends of the earth for your possession. So these are great scriptures, but are they just theory, or are we actually taking God's big vision for our lives and saying, I want to be a part of that? Because actually that is a huge vision, isn't it? The nations, it can be, as a local church, we can just think, well, you know, what is our vision? It's for our community, it's for our town, and possibly the UK, which it is. But actually, God's got a huge vision for our lives and a huge vision for our church. Ask me and I will give you the, not just the towns, but the what? The nations. And we serve a God who is limitless. And so when we kind of get with his program, it's much bigger than actually what our little vision and thoughts are. So, and you know, God is going to use whoever and whatever he will to fulfill his purposes. So God's looking for willing people. Who's willing? Anybody. I mean, I know sometimes we say, I can't do it. You know, why would you use me? But as we all know, those are the very people that God uses. He doesn't use the proud, actually he resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So if you're saying, I can't do it, but I'm willing, he's going to take you at your word and he's going to use you. So one of the things I was thinking about as well is that this seriously, the urgency, that this life is not a dress rehearsal for anything. This is it. This is it, right now. You are living the one and only existence and life on this earth. You're not coming back as a fly or a gnat or a cow or a dog. That's it. We don't believe in reincarnation. This is it. We're here. And the people that we're interacting with over the next 20, 30, 40, 50 years, their lives depend upon our witness, as it were, and because they're going to go to hell if they don't meet with Jesus. So this isn't a dress rehearsal. This is the real thing. This is not a game that we're in, but God has got a plan, a mission, a calling, a job for us to do. So coming to church isn't just doing our religious thing on a Sunday, but actually it's part and parcel of us being engaged in extending the kingdom of God, and you're all involved in that. And we heard last week about the week before, Andrew preached about us being in a battle and spiritual warfare, and you know, we are in a battle. Because lives are at risk. Lives out there are at risk because they are going to go to hell if they don't know Jesus Christ. And God's sending us as messengers into the world. What a fantastic, wonderful privilege, isn't it, that we have to be messengers of grace and of hope to people. So don't hold it in. Be ready. So one of the things that we were thinking about in terms of our church, what's he been saying to us, where we're going, is about being a church on the move, a church going somewhere, a church that wants to make a difference, a church that wants to bring transformation, a church that wants to transform our communities, but also going out into the nations. And we're on a journey, aren't we? So we haven't actually reached where we want to go yet, but we're on a journey. And I've heard it said it's easier to steer a moving ship rather than something that is just dead and not moving and anchored. And so we're on a journey, and we're reliant upon God and the Holy Spirit just to lead us and to enable us to fulfill the vision that he's called us to bring. So we're on a journey, and that doesn't always mean it's going to be easy. Yes. You know, sometimes when God gives you a vision, he says, I want you to go there, the devil or circumstances will throw all that they can in between you and that point to stop you achieving where you want to go. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I'm the only one, yes? Yeah. Okay, a few people. That is the reality of the battle that we were talking about that we are in. And you can put the first, I don't know if you can see that, but Anya and I were driving to go to Aldi, woohoo, which is one of my favourite pastimes. We're driving along the road and I hit this most almighty pothole. I went down and it was a massive crash. And I came out the other side and I thought, my goodness, I must have done some damage to the car. And but fortunately the car kept going. But I tell you, when you fall down or crash into a hole like that, it wakes you up, doesn't it? Yeah, you can go to the next. Wasn't quite like that, but there you go. I don't know if there's actually anything in that or whether he's just posing, but there you go. Okay, you can go to the next one. So what's that? So a speed bump is something that is put in place to slow people down. And do you know, sometimes we have speed bumps that happen in our lives. And sometimes those speed bumps are from God. And sometimes those speed bumps are from the enemy to stop us achieving what he has, what God's got planned for you. But you know, the good thing about a speed bump is in as we're driving, if, you know, sometimes now they have 20 mile an hour zones. And I mean, so you're going over the speed bump and keeping to 20, but eventually you come out of that zone, don't you? Then you can get up to 50 or 60 or not above the speed limit of 70, of course, because you're all wonderful, law-abiding people. Speed bumps are placed there but they're not permanent. That's what I'm trying to say. Sometimes things happen in our lives that slow us down, but they're not that. You don't see a speed bump like that on the M1, because they happen in certain areas. But speed bumps in our lives aren't permanent. And I don't know what you're going through. Maybe you're going through a time at the moment where you feel, I feel frustrated, or things don't seem to be going well. And you might think, well, actually, I'm going through a speed bump moment. Or if you're not, there will be a time where you will face that, because that's what happens in life, because we're in a battle. But those times are not permanent. They're times that we go through and God brings us out the other side. I was just thinking about speed bumps. What speed bumps in life could be: offense, could be hurt, could be feeling rejected, could be unfulfilled dreams. Some of the things that we are hoping that we would see and we don't see. But the enemy sometimes throws those things into us. But you know, sometimes there are things in our lives that we go through where God's working on our character, testing us, testing our heart, testing us on in a particular area. Through difficult times, building faith, building resilience. So there's a vision where we're going. We're on the move. We know where we want to go. We know what God has called us to do. We're walking where God is taking us. But if you go through difficulties and challenges, or you experience something that is causing you from getting to that, don't give up. It's part of the battle. Press on through. Don't give up. Persevere. You can just turn to somebody next to them. You can smile at them and say, persevere in Jesus' name. Persevere. You know, we're in a battle, aren't we? The enemy wants you to give up. Do you know that? He does. The enemy wants you to give up. And he's going to throw everything at you that he can to stop you taking ground and moving forward. But we're a church on the move with a vision for what God has for us. And we're not going to sit back and just dissolve into the background. We're going to be bold, be people full of faith, and move forward and see God do what he wants to do in and through us. So we're on a journey. James 1 verse 12 says, blessed is he who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. So don't give up. Persevere for the sake of the kingdom. There is a prize waiting for you, a prize of the crown of life promised for you. And some people will say, actually, I'm not really worried about what's going to happen in eternity. I want to get all that I want to get for me now here on the earth. But you know, that isn't the way that the new believers, the first disciples, lived. They lived with the hope of what was awaiting them in heaven. They lived with the hope of eternity. And they persevered through difficulties and trials. So I want to encourage you, if you're facing speed bumps, it might be one, it might look very big. Those things are going to, you will come out of those times and come into a place of blessing, experiencing the answers to prayer that maybe you've been really struggling to see. So it was the prize ahead of them. It was the hope of heaven. It was for the affirmation of God himself that kept those first disciples faithful. Let it be for us, the hope of heaven, God's affirmation that keeps us persevering, continuing on with what God has got for us. John 16 verse 33 says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Wonderful, isn't it? So although we are going to face troubles, fear not, God says, for I've overcome the world. And so this year we've had, and you've seen it on the banner out there, we've had our mission as a let's go. Let's go and let's take what we have. In terms of what we were seeking God for, as I said, we were really felt God speak to us about mission and evangelism. So just to recap a little bit about what we did. Actually, we started and we did the Contagious Christianity course. And I heard many, many good reports about people really engaging with that and just how much they learned. And it kind of took some of the scariness out of witnessing and evangelism. And how actually it gave them some other tools that they'd never maybe had before to engage with reaching out to others. And then we had Jonathan Conrath come, and he did some equipping with us, and we did an evening equipping session with us, and then some of us went out on the streets, which was scary but fantastic. And then he did a session in the evening where we had a connect, an encounter night, where we saw many people come to the Lord, which was wonderful. I always get so moved when I see people responding to giving their lives to God. And I never lose the wonder of what it is of somebody coming and receiving Jesus. Isn't it? It's the most precious thing, isn't it? And that's the prize that God has for us. In all of the difficulties and struggles that we may have, in the persevering, seeing lives transformed and people change and people breaking out of bondage and coming into freedom. That's the prize. That's the joy. That's the wonderful thing that makes it worth it all. So it was one of the things that I was really moved by as well, was seeing lots of young people coming and responding on that evening when Jonathan preached, because he stirred up something of a passion to follow Jesus. And there were many that came to give their lives to the Lord, but lots of our young people came. I don't know if anybody, any of you that were there, but lots of them came forward as a kind of, yeah, I want to rededicate my life, or I want to give my life afresh again. And there was a real sense of God beginning something of stirring the hearts of the young people. And it's been fantastic over the last few weeks to see what's been happening here on a Sunday with God really moving on the hearts of the young people. And many of our young people gave their lives to the Lord a few weeks ago, which has resulted, as we were saying, in next Sunday, probably about 8 or so young people want to get baptized, and it might even be more than that as well. And I mean, to have that amount of young people saying, actually, I want to stand up, I want to follow God, I want to testify to what God has done in my life. I can't remember a time where we baptized that many people before. So, now I'm thinking, actually, we've got so many people. What are the logistics of this? What a fantastic problem to have. How are we going to get? How are we going to manage all of this? And but that's what you have when God's on the move, when God's stirring up people, and where there's life, you can't always contain it. So it's wonderful. I'm looking forward to more of those type of problems and difficulties in the future. One of the things that I loved with when we were starting to activate the outreach was that there were lots of testimonies of people saying, well, I went to work and I was I got into a conversation with somebody on the train, or I was going to say when I went to the dentist, but that might not be so easy to talk about that. But anyway, wherever you were, people were saying, I had this opportunity and I had this. And I think that we were going out with an expectation. And obviously we were praying, but there was a faith, there was an expectation that God was going to do something through us. Has that stopped? No. Has God stopped talking to us? Has God stopped giving us those opportunities? No. So I want to encourage you. Moving forward, you know, there are a lot of tools, a lot of things that were put in your hands that you can use. So don't let that just be, well, something that we did at the beginning of the year and we've kind of moved on. This is something that we need to be keeping working at and making it a priority in our lives. So every day when you go out with an expectation. Who can I speak to today? Who can I give some good news today? Who can I lay my hands on? Who can I pray for today? Who can I bless, or who can I impact with the gospel today? So don't let that just die because, well, we've done that module and now we're moving on to something else. This is something that God wants to impact our life with, and we need it to be a culture of the church. There was a slide up there earlier that was talking about an outreach that we're going to be doing in September. So we're now talking about things that we are going to be doing. We're going to take a group of people, some musicians and some dancers and some people out on the streets, and we're going to go and share the gospel with people in Horsham. We don't want to be a church that's just hiding in Greenway School with the blinds down, quaking, because we have a message to take. We have a message to give. People need the gospel message. So again, this is our vision, our heart. What we feel God is saying to us is to be people that are actively advancing. So, you know, going out into the town, yes, okay, it's a stretch and it will take some courage and some faith, but you know, we're extending the kingdom of God. We'll be praying and prophesying, speaking over the town, bringing the presence of God. Because if we don't, you know what, if there is a vacuum there, the enemy wants to come in and he wants to take authority, and no way are we going to let him do that. He's placed us here for a reason and a purpose. So we're going to get out there and we're going to shine for Jesus. Sarah's doing, organizing some dancing. Is that right? And yeah. So it's going to be awesome. It is going to be amazing. Another part of what we're going to be doing in terms of mission and outreach is we've got two mission trips coming up. For those of you that don't know, one group going to Hull and one group going to Switzerland. Danny's got the deluxe, yes, mission trip. So Melanie and Malcolm and Ife are coming with me to Hull, and that's at the end of August. And we're going to go there, we're going to just go to be a blessing, we're going to minister in the church, we're going to go out on the streets, and we want to go there just to be a blessing and a support to the church there. But we're stepping out. We're stepping out. And it is, you know, there is something about stepping out of your area and going with God, because, you know, you're reliant upon God to come through for you. And, you know, faith gets heightened and you see God move. So Danny's got the deluxe trip to Switzerland. I think he's got about 14 or 15 people going. And I don't know why there's more people want to go to Switzerland than to Hull. But nothing wrong with Hull. Actually, we've only got a small group because that's all they can take. Anyway, that's what I'm saying. But again, I know that God's going to do something in you and in those that are going, as well as what, you know, just as much as they're going to give into other people's lives. It's going to be awesome. We took a trip to Uganda last year, and people came fired up because they saw, they were able to preach, lead people to the Lord. It's just wonderful to have that different perspective than just the daily going through the motions. You know, we are called to something greater. And whether that is a mission trip to Africa or India, or whether it is a mission trip to Hull, or whether it's out in the streets in Horsham, it is awesome to serve the Lord. And let's not miss what God has got for us. So, good. Also, yes, I put Tunde's going to Brazil. Woohoo! So she gets the more exotic mission trip. But there are mission trips actually going on all over the world all the time that we can be part of if God leads us. So please pray for us. Please pray for the mission trips. Please pray for those that are going. And it's not like, well, they're going and I'm staying and, well, it's rubbish for me. If you pray, you're part of the fruitfulness of what happens in that mission. So being a church on the move, a church forward and going forward and advancing, we want to see this let's go vision realized this year and moving on. I want to just look very quickly, and we'll talk a few more things that we're thinking of doing. But Philippians 3, verse 7 to 14, which was the scripture that Tom read out this morning. And I just want to look at four points in terms of being intentional about moving forward as a church. Okay. But whatever were gained to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For those for whose sake I have lost all things, and I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection of the dead. Not that I've already obtained this, or I've already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward for what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Jesus Christ. Okay, so you can go to the next slide. Okay. No, okay, all right. Thinking, moving forward. Number one, point one, rethink your direction. Every morning when I go to school, Reuben and I have a conversation. Which way should we go to school, Dad? Because his school is the other side of Little Haven Station. So I know if I take the shortest route, I'm going to go over Little Haven Station, but potentially I could get stuck at the crossing for 5-10 minutes or so. Or I can go around the bypass, and this is the excitement that we have every day. Woohoo! Living the dream. Or we could go around the bypass that is longer, but actually it's quicker in time. So that's the dilemma that we have. So every morning is an evaluation process that's going on. Paul wrote these words. He says, but whatever was profit to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. And Paul, we all know, was one of the most promising young rabbis of his time. He had it all. He had a good life. He had a great education. He came from a well-to-do family. He was top of his class. He was part of a nation that were called God's chosen people. Yet something happened in his life that caused him to stop and rethink. He had a big speed bump on the Damascus Road. A big event to cause him to reevaluate the direction that he was going in. He says in verse 8, what is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. So Paul was on an easy road. He was on an easy direction, but yet he chose to go on a different direction. And in this, looking at his life, I was just trying to sum up some words. Compared to you, God, everything else is as hopeless and as useless as it could be. He actually used the words rubbish or dung, or you know where I'm going now. Excrement is the kind of sense of the word that he... Everything else in the world is nothing. Absolutely nothing. It's what the world can offer actually needs to go down the toilet. Please forgive me. I'm not trying to offend, but that's what he's saying. It was the polar opposites. He's saying, I've considered it, I've thought about it, I've taken time to formulate a view. I'm saying that I've seen something that I want to give my life to, and I'm going to give everything for it. That was his view. That was the direction that he took. And I was thinking, what's my view? What's your view? What's our view? Have we seen something that is so marvelous, out of this world, so spectacular, so priceless, that we will give everything, and actually everything around us, the world, will be like nothing, as rubbish? I mean, that's an awesome vision to have, isn't it? But that was what drove Paul. Okay, secondly, consider the cost. Philippians 3 verse 10 says, he said, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his, or sharing his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection of the dead. All over the world, people know about Christ. They know about Jesus. The devil knows about Jesus. Atheists know about Jesus. Other religions know about Jesus. What Paul's talking about here is that his desire that every single person know Jesus intimately. Not just know about him, but to have a relationship with him. You know, that's what God's called us as the church, isn't it? To reveal the manifold wisdom and glory of God to the world, to the unsaved. That's the high calling that God has given to us. That was Paul's heart, the desire for every Christian to know Jesus intimately, to seek his kingdom and his righteousness, to be living stones, because that is what the house of God, the church of God, the body of Christ will be built on. And then it says that we want to know his power. And Romans 1 verse 4 says he was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. I'm glad that we don't serve a powerless God. Are you? We serve a God who has ultimate power and authority upon the word, in the world. And God has given to us his Holy Spirit, that same power, that resurrection life that is available to us today. We're not a powerless people serving a pathetic God. We're a people where God has given us his Spirit, and we serve a God, as we say, that is without limits. We serve a powerful God. That same power that was given to Jesus, the word says now that same power is given to us so that we can have victory. That same power is given to us so that we can have freedom. That same power is given to us so that we can have peace in the world. But equally, that same power that attracts the favor of God also causes us, in one sense, to... The enemy looks at us and say, those people are dangerous. Those people, wow, they're going to turn the world upside down. I want that said about us, do you? That those people are going to turn the world upside down. Because we're in a battle. And again, it talks about how we're going to share in his sufferings. You know, we are who we are because of what Jesus went through on the cross. He suffered so that we could have the healing and the blessing and the peace and the forgiveness of God. In Isaiah 53, it says, Surely he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. So because Jesus suffered, because he went through what he did, we benefit from it. How amazing is that? That we can identify with Jesus and we can receive the benefits of what he's done for us. But equally, we can, as we identify with Jesus and we identify by taking and receiving everything that he's done for us, there's a sense that he died and that we're called also to die daily ourselves, aren't we? To die to our own wants and our own desires and our own things that we want, because actually we're identifying with Jesus. We get because he gave himself, yet he also died and surrendered his will and his purpose to God. 1 Corinthians 15 says, and this is Paul saying, I face death every day, or I die daily. Brothers, as surely as I boast about you in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the reality is that there's a cost to being a Christian. This is good news. There is a cost, isn't there? It's because when we declare Jesus as Lord, that means he has authority over us. What he says, I will do. He's my master. He's my owner. He's the one that directs my path. Oh, that's a bit awkward. That's the life of being a Christian. I am under the authority and the direction and the lordship and the headship of Jesus. My life's not my own. I've been bought with a price. So, yeah. I die daily. The reality is it costs us to be a Christian. So next year, we're looking at plan. Tonight, we're going to be meeting with the elders about a church plant back into the building. And that's exciting. But you know, it's going to take time, it's going to take resources, it's going to take hard work, and it's going to take faith. Because it's not always going to be easy. But we know that if we're expecting it just to be straightforward, okay, we're going to be let down. We know that we're in a battle. I remember when it was Richard and a meddler came, and one of the cast-off comments that he said was, if you have a vision that is small and easy, he said, I think he said something like, that's insulting to God. God wants to give you a big vision that is going to stretch your faith and put reliance upon your relationship with God. If you can do it, basically he was saying, if you can do everything in your own strength, then actually we don't need faith. And so this is going to be a faith step for us. But I tell you, it's going to be exciting. It's going to be stretching. But new leaders are going to emerge and a new life. But ultimately, most preciously, lives are going to get saved. That's what we're... This machine of church is about bringing transformation and to see lives transformed and changed. That's the goal and the prize for us. A church that's moving forward. We're not just saying, well, let's just stay as we are. We'll just be nice and comfortable and just, you know, go with the flow and just, you know, just do this and just do that and just... What's the point? God's got a vision and a plan for us, and every single one of you are included in that. Okay, just quickly then. Three, forget past failures. We're talking about moving forward. How do we move forward personally as a church? Philippians 3 verse 12, and I'll just read it. Says, not that I've already attained this, but already have been made perfect, but I press on to take hold for that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining for what is ahead. Forgetting what is behind. I think that's a real key factor about anybody moving forward and moving ahead. You know, sometimes when we're hurt, and life has a habit of hurting us. People hurt us. Leaders hurt us. Things happen in our lives where that go on. And, you know, if we don't forgive and move on, you know what it's like? It's like putting an anchor in the ground. And time, you know, over time, you know, time is a healer, but sometimes it can be like, well, I've moved away from that person or that situation, but the anchor is there. And when I was in the Isle of Man, I was watching a boat out in the harbour, and they dropped the anchor. But you know what the boat did? It just kept going round the anchor. It wasn't actually moving anywhere. It was anchored. Well, that's the whole point of an anchor, I guess. It was, but you understand what I'm saying? If we don't forgive and choose to deal with hurts and offences and issues, it's like we've put that anchor down and we just, what are we doing? We're just going round in circles. And actually what the power of God wants to do is just come and take that sword and cut that chain so that you can move on, forgetting what is past, moving forward. You know, sometimes even people just say, oh, but in my old church, or how it was back in the day, that was really good. That's another chain. I wish the church could be like that now. And you know what, we forget, and we don't even see what God's doing amongst us now today. I mean, having all those young people wanting to get baptized, that's awesome. What God's doing amongst us is awesome. Yes, but I liked it when, you know, Mildred used to come and whatever it was. You know, it's like, you understand what I mean? Yeah. It's like, well, sometimes we can just look back and say, well, it was so good then, but we actually stop or we miss what God is doing now. And I want to encourage you, you know, don't let there be any chains kind of holding you back. See what God is doing amongst us now. So is there an area in our lives where we're somehow chained or comparing things to the past? Is there something that, or someone that you need to forgive again? God's plan for his church has never changed and won't ever change, because God came to this world to save the lost, to seek and to save the lost. Go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. You know, we've got a lot more to do. We began the year by doing a marriage course because we knew that there was value in, and people were saying we need some input in our marriage. That's how we started it. Moving forward, we're God's been speaking to us about discipleship, and a lot of that is beginning to happen now, one-on-one. Relationships being built one-on-one. That's so important. Just one-on-one accountability, but real good relationships being built. People being honest, saying, actually, I've got this area and I'm really embarrassed to talk about it, but anyway, this is it. And you don't do that to everybody, but you find someone that you can be accountable with. And build relationship and friendship, because it's that keeps people together. We're not just individuals coming in, you know, because we've got a joint interest. We just come together and just do Sundays and then all go away. And there's something that God wants to build amongst these people that he's beginning to do, which is really exciting. So I'm really encouraged by the people that I'm meeting with and the people that I'm ministering to, but the people that I'm meeting with in terms of accountability as well. And we're going to go on later on in the year to do a Keys to Freedom course, which is about so we've got somebody over there clapping and excited. There you go. Woohoo! Somebody excited in God's house. What's your name? Who? Kemi. God bless you. Yeah. It's Cammy ought to come to the front. We should just like have a bit of a thing going on here. So Keys to Freedom is a course that is specifically geared to helping people break out of addictions and areas of their strongholds that have just kept them back, or breaking into areas of freedom. So that's something that we're looking in the future to be running, and believe will be a great benefit for those that really sense that this is what God is calling them to do. It's not necessarily for everybody, but for those people that really are sensing, actually, I need to break out of this particular area. Okay, just quickly then, lastly, obey God and be available to be used. So Philippians 3 verse 14 says, I press on towards the goal for the prize for which Christ called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. So the sense is pressing on, straining. The word there, the Greek word there, is to stretch yourself and to put yourself in an uncomfortable position. So we got there you go. Anybody play Twister? You know, you flip the thing and it goes to blue and you put your hand there and then you it says put your leg on red and you're like, oh my goodness, you know, like that. You know, we've all been there. It's good fun. But you know, moving forward, pressing on, advancing, is going to stretch you. Do you realize that? And I want to be in a church where we can meet with God, but where we're on a journey to go somewhere. And where from time to time I have to step out of my comfort zone. Looking back upon my life, and I'm sure it's the same for you, the times where I've had a testimony, I've seen God use me, is when I've stepped out of my comfort zone and I've said, God, it's just me and you now. If you don't come through, I'm going to fall flat on my face. So, but I'm putting myself in your hands. I mean, is there any safer place to put yourself, basically? Sometimes we need to step out to let God do a work in our lives. So you might be saying, well, actually, I'm not an extrovert, or I can't preach, or I can't do this. Is there anybody here who can pray? Everybody put up your hand. Okay. So one of the other things that we've done this year is to establish a prayer room. So even if you feel you can't do anything else, I want to encourage you, go to that prayer room. Now I know what you're thinking. Why do I need to go to a prayer room? I can pray in my room. That is true. But you know, there is something about a place that's dedicated and set aside for prayer. And I've been in there, and I walked in there, and I started to pray, and immediately I felt God speaking to me. I was like, wow, this is something special going on here, and I know other people have felt that as well. In that room there are resources to help you pray, because you might think, my goodness, I've never prayed for an hour in my life, I could manage 5 minutes. Okay, go into there are resources there that can take one of those folders, pray for 5 minutes over each one of those folders. That's 20 minutes already, so you've broken your record. There are scriptures and prophecies and things written around the room that where people have heard from God, or this is what they're feeling, and it's a great encouragement to go. So yes, you don't need to go necessarily to a room to pray, but I tell you, it's you're being intentional. If you work in town, put a day aside to go and pray in your lunch break. Go and do it. And you know, I felt the benefit. I'm sure people are praying for me because I've felt God speaking to me and moving in my life recently in unusual ways. And I'm thinking, wow, God, this is wonderful. I'm sure that that's a result of the prayer room with people praying. I don't know if it is, but I think it is. So that prayer initiative is going to ignite something. It is igniting something. So even if you feel you can do nothing else, then there's no excuse that for any of us to go into that room and pray for a while. Yes? Yes? I want to encourage you, don't be a God watcher, but be a God chaser. Yeah. Don't just sit back and just, well, let's just see what God will do. And sometimes, you know, people think, well, God will do with me what he wants to do. But I want to say no. Be active. Press into God. Pursue him. Pursue God. What have you got for me? You've got something great that you've got in store for me. What is it, God? Don't just sit back and just say, well, if God wants to talk, he'll talk. Or if God wants me to go to India, an Indian pastor will come on Tuesday afternoon with a ticket. And pursue God. Okay, I'm just going to finish. So, what were the four things? So, moving forward, a church moving forward, church on the move. Where are we going? Okay, so, and personally and corporately, rethink what's happening in your life. Rethink your direction. Consider the cost. There's a cost to following Jesus, but let me tell you, it is worth it. And we're going to end our life expelled for Jesus, rather than just saying, well, you know, I did 365 car boot sales. It was wonderful. We're going to expel, we're going to be worn out serving at the end of our lives, old and, you know, just, but what a prize, what a calling. So consider the cost. Thirdly is forget past failures. So if there are issues that are anchoring us, holding us back, deal with them. Get someone to pray with you. Get the healing that you need so that you're not just going around in circles. And fourthly, obey God and be available to be used. Shall we pray? Just want to, as we just, we've got our eyes closed, just want to pray for anybody today that you have sensed God working upon your heart. I remember when I became a Christian, it was a process of many weeks and of months of God speaking to me and of me recognizing that I needed a savior. Wasn't anybody twisting my arm? Wasn't anybody forcing me to do something that I needed to do? God was preparing my heart. Someone gave me an opportunity and I grabbed hold of it like a life belt. So I don't know if there's anybody here today that maybe you've never given your life to God, or maybe you've backslidden and you just want to say, God, I want to take, you've been working on my heart. I sense you're drawing me and calling me. I want to respond to you today. So if there's anybody here, just you can just keep your eyes closed. But if there is anybody, could you just raise your hand? Just like to pray for you, if there is anybody here this morning. We always want to give an opportunity for people to respond and give their lives to Jesus, because this is number one, first prize. So I don't know if there's anybody. And just the other thought I just want to put there is there anybody here? And I want you to, as we just finish with the song, I want you just to respond to God in your own way. But are there areas of unforgiveness, or is there something that is causing you to look back? You know, if you're always looking to the past, then you are going to limit what God can do through you. Maybe you're putting limits on your own life with what you feel God can do for you. But this morning I just want to say, come to God. He's a God of great and outrageous mercy, incredible goodness, a depth of love that is unfathomable. And we can come and find healing and wholeness in Him. Don't keep looking back. Look forward. Be part of what God is doing in His church today. Why don't we just, let's stand, and we're going to respond with a song. Let's just spend some time doing business with God.